Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you, Father, for your love and your mercy. It's new to us every morning. We thank you, Father, that you speak to us, that you speak to us primarily through your word, but Father, that you also speak to us in other ways, that you choose at times to speak to us through dreams. You choose a time to speak through us through your very creation itself. And so we thank you, Father, that you have always been faithful. You have spoken to the prophets of old, to the apostles, to the church today in many and various ways. We thank you, Father, that you make your will and your desire clear for us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, as we look today at godly dreams, capture our hearts and our minds. Let us not be distracted about regrets over yesterday, anxiety over tomorrow. Help us, Father, to receive what you have to say. Father, plant your word deep within our hearts, deep within our minds, so that our faith will be fruitful, that you will be glorified. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name, according to your will and for your glory, and all of God's children, we all say, amen. Amen. I want to encourage you as we get started to open up your worship folders. In your worship folders there's a place for discipleship notes. I want to encourage you to get out a pen or pencil. We're going to have some good teaching today from God's word. And so I just want to encourage you to listen to what God has to say, but then also as you're reflecting on what God has to say through his word, that as God lays thoughts on your hearts, maybe things to study further from his word, things to apply to your life, to jot those down as well, because that's really why you're here. Right now you could be at home watching, I guess, the preparations for a football game maybe, or who knows what. You could be sleeping in, having breakfast, whatever you want. No, don't get up and leave now. I'm not saying you should do that. I'm saying you could be. I'm just joking. But you chose to be here, so let's make the most out of it. Amen? Amen. So our scripture that we're going to look at is Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to look at three verses, snippets from three verses in particular, 13, 19, and 22, and it's on the big screen there for you to look at as well. Let me read it for us. It says, behold, from verse 13, it says, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. That's exactly right, when he was in Bethlehem. And then verse 19, it says, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream. That's right, to Joseph. This time he's in Egypt. And then in verse 22, it says, and being warned in a dream, Joseph withdrew from there with his family, and they went to, from Judea, they went to Nazareth. Our sermon for this weekend, this first Sunday after Christmas, is Godly Dreams. That's our title. When I was 17 years old, I had a very scary dream one night. I had this dream, and in my dream, I was driving in the family car down Telegraph Road in South County in St. Louis. And I knew exactly where I was in this dream. I knew exactly where I was on the road. I can still picture in my mind's eye, there was the middle school there. I believe it's called Woolwind Middle School, elementary middle school there. And in my dream, I'm going northbound on Telegraph. And in this dream that I had, there's an orange-colored pickup truck built up on suspension lift things, and it's coming down in the opposite lane of traffic. And at that time, Telegraph Road was just a two-lane road. It was a very busy road. And in my dream, this orange pickup truck is in the oncoming lane of traffic. And then at the very last minute, it swerves in front of me to go into the school. And so when it does that in my dream, I've got a choice. I can either hit the truck, I can go down into the ditch on the right, or I can swerve into the oncoming lane of traffic. And when I had this dream, I froze. I didn't know what to do. And I woke up, and I was scared. About two nights later, I had the exact same dream. I'm driving northbound on Telegraph Road. There's the middle school, the oncoming lane of traffic. Here comes this orange pickup truck. At the very last minute, it swerves in front of me. I still have the same three choices. But this time, I knew exactly what I was going to do. I swerved hard to the left, went past the truck, swerved hard to the right, got back into my lane of traffic, and I drove on safe down the road. About 2 days after that, I was northbound on Telegraph Road. I'm driving down Telegraph Road. Here's the middle school. I did this trip every day at that time in my life. In the oncoming lane of traffic is this orange pickup truck. I knew exactly what was going to happen. It swerved left in front of me at the very last second, and I knew exactly what I was going to do. I swerved hard to the left into the oncoming lane of traffic, swerved hard to the right, continued driving down the road, and I was safe. To this day, I look back at that, and I say, how did that happen? How did I have those dreams, not just once, but twice? How is that possible that I would have a dream that clear, that specific, about what was going to happen, and then it in fact did happen, and my life was preserved through that dream? And I, at the very young age, became absolutely convinced, and I am to this day, that God spoke to me through that dream. When we look in Scripture, we see that God speaks over and over and over again to righteous people through dreams, and on behalf of righteous people through dreams and through visions. Why does God do this? Have you ever asked yourself that? Why would God choose to speak through dreams to people? And I would submit to you that one reason why God chooses at times to speak through dreams to people is because when you're asleep, from a medical point of view, when you're asleep, your brain actually does some of its best thinking. And why is that? Because when you're asleep, your eyes are closed. And so that stimuli is not there for your mind to think through. And when you're sleeping, your hearing is largely shut down, unless your spouse snores. That was a joke, guys. And so then your mind is able to think better. And when you're sleeping, your sense of smell is largely shut down, and so then you're able to think better. Have you ever noticed that there are times when you wake up in the middle of your sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever time it is, and all of a sudden you have an answer to a problem that vexed you the day before, that you sat there and thought about all day the day before, and you couldn't come up with the answer to that. But now all of a sudden at 2 o'clock in the morning, you've got the answer, clear as light, clear as day. And my suggestion always to my family and friends is when you go to sleep at night, have a notepad, have a pen on the nightstand next to you. So the next time that this happens and you have the answer, you don't just say, oh, that's so wonderful, I'm glad my problems are solved, and go back to sleep. Because when you do that, when you wake up in the morning, what's happened to that idea? It's evaporated like the morning mist, right? No, write down the answer that God has given you or that's come to your heart, to your mind. Write that down. Don't even worry about turning on the light. You can fix your penmanship later in the morning. Just write it down. Why does God speak to us through dreams? Because He wants to communicate with us. And he wants us to know His love for us, His care for us, His concern, His providing, His plan for us. And we see this over and over in Scripture. When I was preparing the message for this weekend, I went through the Bible and I took note of some of the many times that God spoke through dreams or visions to His people. Let me share some of these with you. Let me remind you again. You know many of them already. God spoke through dreams or visions to Abimelech, to Jacob, to Laban, to Joseph, to Pharaoh's butler and baker, to Pharaoh himself, to Solomon, to Nebuchadnezzar, to Daniel, to Joseph in the text for this weekend, to the Magi, apparently to Pilate's wife herself. Remember that story from Scripture? He spoke in a dream and a vision to Peter regarding what he could start to have for dinner going in the future. Remember that from the book of Acts? To John regarding a revelation. And to a Midianite who was overheard by Gideon. And these are just some of the ones that we know about. It's interesting, I think it's important when we look at Scripture to understand this, that when we go back in the Old Testament, we study dreams and visions, this is worth writing down, it's worth remembering. That in the Hebrew, which is what the Old Testament is given to us in, largely, in the Hebrew, the root word for dream and the root word for vision are the same. I want to say that again. In the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, the root word for dream and the root word for vision are the same. What does that tell us? That tells us that God reveals his vision. He speaks to us in dreams. And when we look at those instances from Scripture, there's one thing that jumps right out at us. That God only speaks through dreams and through visions on behalf of or directly to his righteous children. Isn't that something? Because God cares about you. Now, that's not to say that ungodly people don't have dreams and visions. You and I both know that to be the case. I mean, you don't have to be a great student of history to know that all sorts of wicked people have had dreams and visions and hopes and goals. I mean, my goodness, I mean, one name that just jumps off the page of history is Adolf Hitler, right? Had all sorts of wicked dreams and hopes and visions. And we see that even in the Scripture for today. We read in Matthew chapter 2, it says, "Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation." Why? This is the slaughter of the innocents that's being described here. "Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted because they are no more." And you and I, if we're honest with ourselves, and I would submit to you that this is a good place and a good time to be honest, that it's not just wicked people who have ungodly dreams and visions. If we're honest with ourselves, we don't have to look any further than the mirror. And if we study our hearts and we study our thoughts, we will have to admit that there have been plenty of times in our own lives where we have had visions and hopes and aspirations and goals that were not pleasing to God. And if we're really honest about it, we even have to admit that there have been times where God's word has spoken to us and we've turned a deaf ear. And a Christian family member has spoken to us and we push them off. And maybe even a pastor has come to us and said, you know, this is what God's word says and you need to change. And we've turned a cold heart towards that. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God speaks to us in many and various ways. That's what Scripture itself says. And in one of the ways that he speaks to us is in dreams. And what I want to do now with you is a little bit of teaching, because the Gospel of Matthew is a special message. It's crafted in a special way. And I want to draw out for you from the Gospel of Matthew a little bit more about the message for us. It says, I want to read this again. It says in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13, 19, and 22 on the big screen there for you. It says, "Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream," when he was in Bethlehem. And then in verse 19, "An angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph when he was in Egypt." And then finally in verse 22, it says, "And being warned in a dream, he withdrew from Judea." At the time of Christ, at the time of the early church, there was a Jewish historian by the name of Josephus. He's well known. He's highly respected by Jews and Christians alike. Josephus never converted. He never was a proselyte. His writings are extant. There are many, and it's interesting when you as a pastor you get a chance to do research to prepare for God's message, and so one of the things I was blessed to do in preparing for this message was to look at Josephus and what he wrote almost 2,000 years ago on this topic. And it's interesting because Josephus, listen to this carefully, Josephus records a tradition of an astrologer who warned Pharaoh. Now think Pharaoh, think the Israelites in bondage in Egypt. Josephus, the Jewish historian at the time of the early church, records a tradition of an astrologer who warned Pharaoh regarding the birth of an Israelite deliverer. Josephus then goes on to record that Pharaoh, in alarm, then orders the destruction of all the young male Hebrews. Josephus further records that Moses' father was told in a, guess what? There we go, in a dream, that his son will deliver Israel. And so Moses' father puts into motion the plan that will save Moses' life. Dreams, we do know this from Scripture. We absolutely know this from Scripture, that it was largely because of dreams that Joseph, remember Joseph and the many-colored coat and all of his dreams, right? Because of dreams that Joseph and his family came in to Egypt. Josephus tells us that then perhaps dreams played a role in Moses bringing the people of Israel out of Egypt. Why do I bring this up? Because Matthew in the gospel, you need to understand this about Matthew. When you study Matthew a little bit deeper, you see that Matthew often compares and contrasts Moses and Christ. And so we know from Jewish history and from Scripture these things about the Jewish people coming into Egypt and coming out of Egypt. And then what does Matthew take care to note in his inspired account? Matthew's account also has dreams, watch this now, bringing Jesus and his family both into Egypt and what? Out of Egypt, right? Matthew's record is not a point-for-point reflection of Josephus' story, but to the Jewish reader 2,000 years ago, this would have rang familiar. It would have rang true. We know from Scripture, we know that Moses is credited for writing the what? The first five books of the Old Testament, commonly called the Pentateuch, Penta being five, right? Moses wrote the first five books. Now, what do we see with Matthew? That Matthew arranges the teachings of Christ into how many? Five. That's exactly right. If you're jotting this down, or if you just want a copy of my sermon afterwards, I'll be happy to give it to you. This can be found in chapters 5 to 7, 10, 13, 18, and then 23 to 25. Moses, we know from Scripture, went up Mount Sinai three times, it says he ascended Mount Sinai, to hear from God. Matthew makes a point of telling us that Jesus was on a mountain doing God's work and teaching God's word, not just three times, but seven times. And those chapters are 4, 5, 14, 15, 17, 24, and then ultimately, perhaps the most best remembered, is Matthew 28, where Jesus is on the mountaintop. He's got his disciples there, and he teaches them what? And he tells them to do what? To go into all nations and make disciples of all people, right? I think it's important when we look at the dream that God uses throughout Scripture and uses in the reading for today regarding Joseph. Who is the actor in the dream? Is it Joseph? Shake your head left and right. Not Joseph. Who's the actor? God is the actor. Who initiates the action? God does. God sees Joseph's need. God knows how to provide for Joseph. God cares for Joseph. And God does that for us today. Not only in dreams, but right here at the Lord's table. Who is the actor? Is it the pastor? No. It's God. God initiated this action. Jesus said, God in human form said, that we should do this for a reason. Remember what Jesus said? That this is for a purpose. For the what? For the forgiveness of your sins. There's a reason why we do this. Amen? Amen. We have a wonderful mission statement as a church. I like to speak about it from time to time. That we're going to glorify God by spreading the gospel through doing how many things? Through three things, right? Through our preaching, through our teaching, and through living our daily lives. That's exactly right. So we've had the preaching. and we've had the teaching. And now it's time to talk about living our daily lives. It's interesting, see on the big screen there, it's the three dreams. But what's not on the big screen is Joseph's reaction to these dreams. Let me share those words with you. Verse 14, it says, Joseph rose, took the child and his mother. Verse 21, it says, Joseph rose, took the child and his mother. In verse 22, it says, Joseph withdrew to the district of Galilee. Godly dreams are given to us for a reason. Not just to have a dream, but to prepare us, to equip us, to take action. So I want to ask you as we wrap up the message, what dreams has God laid on your heart? And what fears, perhaps like Joseph, do you have to overcome to walk the walk of faith? Because all of God's dreams and all of God's visions really come to the same thing, which is that the entire world would know his love for them. Because that is God's dream. Amen? Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep all of your hearts, all of your minds in Christ Jesus.